listening to the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently sharing a special Christmas series entitled The Drama of Christmas. And now here's Pastor Sandy with part three of his special Christmas series entitled The Drama of Christmas.
When God staged the Christmas drama, He did it right. Nothing in the story happened by accident. As we've been discovering, every detail was thought out, planned through. And the same was true with the script. Each word was carefully crafted by the master wordsmith himself, the Holy Spirit. Each line of the Christmas drama makes a specific point. In our first study, we talked about the cast of Christmas. Last week, the sets of Christmas. And this week, we want to take a look at the lines from the Christmas story. You know, I've read that 95% of American families this year will send Christmas cards. 95%. And of those families, each will send an average of between 60 and 70 Christmas cards. That's over 4 billion Christmas cards. Did you know that the President of the United States will probably mail over 40,000 Christmas cards? And we get to pay the postage. I think sending Christmas cards is such a popular practice because we all sense intuitively that Christmas is the perfect time of the year to make a statement. For years, I've had a personal Christmas tradition. On Christmas Eve Day, I get out my old phone directories and I browse through the names of friends and former acquaintances. And I start calling folks who I haven't seen in a while to try to renew and refresh some old relationships. Hey, there's something about Christmas that makes it the perfect time to make a statement. I heard of a particular town that had a custom. At Christmas, everyone gave a present to their trash collector. This became a habitual thing, so much so that some of the collectors began to expect a gift. And they would tape reminders to the trash cans. Season's greetings from your trash collector. Just a subtle reminder. One man forgot to respond to his trash collector's greeting card. And so the day before Christmas, another note was taped to his garbage can. It read, "Season's greetings from your trash collector. Second notice." Hey, Christmas time is the perfect time to make a statement. Just so you'll know where I'm headed, I've surveyed the Christmas story and I've lifted out some memorable lines, statements God made to us and through us. And by looking at God's statements this morning, I hope to encourage you to make a few statements of your own to the people that you love this Christmas season. Did you hear about the little boy who was approached by his dad with three pieces of paper? He held up the first paper and he said, "Dad, will you fax my list to Santa Claus?" Of course, he then sat down the second piece of paper on the desk and he said, "Dad, will you email this list to God?" But he had a third piece of paper that he kept clutching in his hand. And his instructions were clear. He got real serious. He said, "And Dad, with this list, please, you gotta talk to Grandma direct." This Christmas, I hope that you'll want to talk to a few people direct. Hopefully, you'll want to make a statement or two to God. Maybe it's time that your wife heard from you more than just a grunt at breakfast or a snore in the middle of the night. Now, I know you told her the day you married her that you loved her. But you know, you probably need to tell her again from time to time. Perhaps it's time you made a statement to her of how much you care. And I'll bet your kids could use a reminder of how much you love them too. And for you kids, I'm certain that your mom and dad could stand to hear a little appreciation for you from all that they've done for you. Guys, sometimes the best presents at Christmas time come in the form of heartfelt statements. And Christmas is the perfect time for making those statements. We learn that from God. Let's take a look at seven famous lines from the Christmas drama. The first statement comes from the mouth of an angel. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, an angel appears to a confused Joseph with an explanation, a word of explanation. He says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Guys, sometimes what we need most is an explanation. Once there was a fella on our clean team. He came up, he was cleaning the church each week, and he started finding beer cans and liquor bottles in the trash can of one of our pastors. And he came to me worried about the pastor's sobriety. "I think he's got a drinking problem, Pastor Sandy. I kept finding beer cans and liquor bottles in his trash can." Well, what he was doing is the pastor was out on the front lawn picking up the trash people throw out from their cars on the grass. And he was depositing his trash in his trash can in his office. Well, all my friend needed to calm his fears was an explanation. This was also true of the wife who found $500 cash stuffed in one of her husband's socks. It was hidden deep down in the bottomless pit of the Chester drawers. She assumed the worst. When he got home from work, boy, she let him have it with both barrels. She was so embarrassed to discover that her husband's stash was money that he had been saving to buy her a Christmas gift. Hey, sometimes all we really need is an explanation. This was the case with Joseph. His fiancée was pregnant, and she expected him to believe this preposterous story about it all being the work of God. Joseph was plotting how to terminate the relationship when suddenly an angel appeared in a dream and provided Joseph the explanation that he desperately needed. This Christmas might be the perfect time for you to sit down and give someone you love an explanation. Perhaps you've assumed that your kids understand the reasons behind your rules. Maybe they don't. And maybe those rules would be better received if you explained them to them. Perhaps your parents need a reminder of how you still love them, and the reason you don't visit as often as you'd like is because you've got kids of your own now to raise. Maybe there's a smoldering resentment between you and someone you love that could be doused. It could be put to rest by just providing your friend an explanation for that insensitive comment you may have made or for that odd action you took. You see, the angel explained to Joseph that Mary's story was true, that the Holy Spirit had overshadowed the young girl, that the child in her womb had been sired by the power of God. I'm sure God's explanation didn't answer all of Joseph's questions, but it did let him know the crucial facts that Mary had been faithful to him, that God loved them both, and that God had even honored Joseph by choosing him for the special task of rearing the Son of God. Guys, an explanation might not satisfy all the objections, but at least it's an effort to foster peace and love and understanding. As with Joseph, often an explanation makes the difference between going on and giving up. Well, notice another Christmas statement. This one's made by the Magi in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. When they arrive in Israel, they figure that the local authorities surely would be aware of the important birth of the promised king. And so they come to King Herod and they inquire of him, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." The angel's words to Joseph were a calming explanation, but the wise men, they utter a rousing declaration. They have traveled over high mountains. They have crossed steep valleys. They have come from deep within the oriental east to the shores of the burgeoning west, and all for one reason. They want to worship this newborn king. This Christmas, maybe it's time for you to come out with a declaration. Why not stand up and make a statement to God, to your family, to your co-workers, your neighbors, your friends, to the whole world for that matter, that you are going to worship Jesus. There are wives today here in this building who have been praying that they would be able to hear their husband say, "Honey, this Christmas, we're going to worship Jesus." There are kids who would love to hear their parents tell them, "Guys, we've been majoring on the minors. This year, we're going to worship Jesus." And there are certainly parents here today who would jump for joy to hear their kids say, "Mom, Dad, I'm tired of my selfish attitude. This year, I just want to worship Jesus." And there is a Father in heaven who loves you so much. He's sitting on the edge of his seat. His ear is bent toward earth. He's just waiting to hear some awakened heart speak up in faith and make a declaration, "Yes, I have come to worship Jesus." Such a declaration may be the best Christmas present you give. Let me share with you an insight I gleaned from the wise men's declaration. They say, "We have come to worship Jesus." Guys, to worship Jesus, you have to come. That's a basic. You have to make a move toward God. You have to leave where you're at, and you have to come to where He is. Understand this. Real worship comes to Jesus on His terms, not our own. Singer Susan Ashton had a popular song several years ago that contained a line addressed to God. She sang, "I can't go with you and stay where I am, so you move me." And that's a prerequisite for real worship. I can't follow Jesus and stay where I am. Hey, there's no better time than Christmas time to make a move toward Jesus, to boldly declare that you're willing to leave where you are and come and follow Jesus on His terms, not your own. Christmas is the perfect time to open up your heart and lay aside your agenda and worship the King of Kings. Christmas is a good time to make that statement. Well, there's another Christmas statement, Luke chapter 1. Verses 31 through 33, an angel speaks again, this time to Mary. And the angel now comes with a word of expectation. He says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." The angel fills Mary's imagination with wonder. He gives her a glimpse of who her son will be, and the very first clue to his destiny comes from his name, Jesus. I've been keeping a list of people who've come up with clever names for their companies. Names that reveal the nature of their business in catchy terms. Did you know there is a store in Alameda, California that sells maternity clothes? They call the store Fashion After Passion. There's an Indian fast food shop in New York City called Curry in a Hurry. A hairstyling salon in Dumas, Texas goes by the name Curl Up and Die. A portable toilet company in Parlin, New Jersey is called Johnny on the Spot. There's an accounting firm in Glen Ellyn, Illinois named Brilliant Deductions. I like that one. And last but not least, what about the hot dog stand in Mountain View, California? It goes by the name Mustard's Last Stand. Hey, God gave His Son a name that communicated in a nutshell the nature of His business. The Greek name Jesus is the Hebrew word Yeshua, which means Yahweh or Jehovah is salvation. This is why the angel declared to Joseph, "You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Guys, if you've got any doubts whatsoever about the business that Jesus is in, you need to put them to rest. Jesus is in the business of forgiveness. He loves you, and He's just been dying to prove it. If there's a tree in heaven, He has carved your name in the trunk. If God has a refrigerator, He's put your photo under a magnetic clip and He's got it hanging from His refrigerator. Jesus loves you. And what he did on the cross was more than enough to wash away every sin you've committed. But you've got to ask him for his forgiveness. You've got to lay aside your agenda and your demands and your issues. And you've just got to come to him and worship him. But the angel's statement to Mary, it provides her with even loftier aspirations for her son. Notice what the angel says of Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Jesus is both the offspring of God and the descendant of David. And that combination makes him the king who will reign forever over God's forever kingdom. Hey, no mother has ever had greater reason to have high expectations for her son than did Mary. God not only calmed the fears of Joseph and Mary with an explanation of what had happened, but he also piqued their expectation by giving them a vision of who their child would become. And there's a lesson here for you and me. God is teaching us something about the power of a good and godly expectation. I'm sure that over the years, Joseph and Mary never lost sight of their child's true identity and his ultimate mission. No doubt when changing diapers and when warming bottles and when cleaning skint knees got old, they would remember the angel's statement of expectation and they would recall how strategic their parenting really was. This Christmas, you could make a vital statement by just sitting down and refocusing on the expectations God has for you and for your family. So often we get caught up in the daily grind and we forget the impact of our parenting and of our witness and of our service and even the influence of our church. Hey, it's the little acts of sacrifice that we do on a daily basis that start to add up. This is how God changes the world, through the little things. God has great expectations for each of us. We need reminders that God has designed us for eternal purposes. We need to remember that there's more to our life than trying to find a parking spot in a crowded shopping mall. Hey, we will endure difficulties. We will press on the road, even when the road gets tough, when we recall where the road ultimately leads. God wants our lives to count for eternity. He does have great expectations for you and me. Well, in my opinion, Luke chapter 1, verse 38, contains the most challenging and the most soul-searching line of the Christmas drama. This time it's Mary who makes a bold statement of surrender to the will of God. Listen to what she says. She says to the angel, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." I don't believe there's ever been a stronger statement of dedication than the one that falls from Mary's lips. Imagine the curveball that God threw Mary. Here's a 14, maybe 15-year-old girl engaged to be married. Her hopes and dreams are all planned out. When news breaks that irreversibly changes her life forever, Mary could have questioned God or bucked obedience to his will, but she does neither. Hey, there is not the slightest squirm in Mary's response. As soon as God's will is revealed to her, she gives it all up, man. She lays it all down. She surrenders her hopes and dreams and plans and ambitions to the good pleasure of God. And do I really need to draw an application at this point? Are we ready? Are we willing to let God have his way in our lives? Even if it reverses or perhaps spoils our plans? Author John Powell, he recounts the care that he gave for a time to his elderly mother. Her home was in Chicago and it included the staircase in the middle of the house. And John would carry his frail mother up and down the stairs. But on occasion, Mom would grab the banister and she would refuse to turn loose. And whenever she did, John would say, "Mama, let go of the banister or we can't move." And she would look at her son and confess, "But I'm afraid you'll drop me." John said this is how he would respond. He would say, "Okay, Mama, I'm going to drop you right now. When I count to three, I'm going to drop you if you don't let go of that banister." And of course, John's mom would let go of the banister just for a little while until he could move her a few more steps, and then she'd grab hold again and he'd go through the same ordeal. John Powell sums up his story. That is, in microcosm, my interaction with God. I'm hanging on to the banisters of life. I'm hanging on to these little things that make me feel secure. But God loves me more than I love my mother. And God would never let me come to any harm. God knows where we're going. Hey, Mary turned loose of the banister. Though God was taking her in a direction she didn't understand, she was confident he would never drop her. Is your faith strong enough to turn loose of the railing and surrender to God's will? Don't you know he loves you? Don't you know he has big, strong arms? He's never had a drop before. He never will. If you're not growing, if you're not moving on spiritually, it's probably because you have yielded to your fears and you are clutching to the banister. Let go, my friend. Let God hold you and carry you. He has a plan for you. The most important statement any of us can make this Christmas is to completely surrender to God's will. Let it be to me, Lord, according to your word. This Christmas, let's all make a statement of dedication to God. And then there's another statement that falls from the lips of Mary. It's an utterance of praise and adoration. Bible scholars call it by a special name, Mary's Magnificat. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55 recalls Mary's song of praise. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Some of the early missionaries to India were warned by William Temple, a missionary pioneer, not to read Mary's song of praise in public. For he said, if it were rightly understood, the authorities and the social order that they supported would be threatened by its contents. The praise of Mary, he scattered the proud. He put down the mighty. He exalted the lowly, would be viewed as by the status quo as inflammatory and as treasonous. God's real praise, true adoration, is indeed revolutionary. It recognizes that with the coming of the Messiah, it's no longer business as usual on planet Earth. The Son of God will one day upset the apple cart. He'll turn the establishment on its ear. He'll put down mighty men. He'll exalt humble people. He'll scatter the proud. He'll lift up the lowly. He'll fill the hungry with good things. You see, Christmas makes a radical statement. Don't revolt against God. Rather, be a revolutionary for God. Mary's song of praise, her pure praise, makes a radical statement wherever it's played.
Thanks so much for joining us today for this special edition of Sandy Adams Radio. We've taken a break from our current series to bring you these special Christmas messages. Since that first Christmas, the story of the arrival of God's Son has been told and retold, even reenacted over and over. The first live nativity occurred on Christmas Eve, 1223 AD, and was organized by St. Francis of Assisi. Since then, thousands of churches over hundreds of years have reenacted the Christmas story. And though we would never discourage a Christmas nativity, these constant rehearsals do immunize us from the wonder of the drama as it first unfolded. Pastor Sandy recently wrote a book entitled The Drama of Christmas, that we're sure will bless you. This book is an attempt to spice up your Christmas by recapturing the surprise, the fascination, the awestruck amazement that first accompanied the Christmas drama. The Christmas Story is the world's grandest epic. We would love to get this book, The Drama of Christmas, in your hands. To receive your own copy, log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on The Drama of Christmas right at the very top of the homepage. Each copy is only $10, which includes shipping. Again, to receive a copy of The Drama of Christmas by Sandy Adams, visit sandyadams.org and click on The Drama of Christmas at the top of the homepage. On behalf of Pastor Sandy, the congregation at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain, and the entire production team, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.